Happy Tuesday. Something amazing is happening to you. Can you feel it? Things are changing rapidly. Everything is getting better and better and better. Take a deep breath in. Release and let go. Oh. Just take one more nice deep breath in. Just breathe deep into your belly and just feel around. Notice how you feel in your body. If there's any stress or tension, just let it go with the outgoing breath. Let's imagine that we're stepping into a warm, bubbling jacuzzi or hot mineral spring. And you know, the image I'm seeing in my head right now is Scrooge McDuck swimming around in his bolts of gold, you know, because we're talking about think and grow rich tonight, you know. So just submerge into the warm, bubbling jacuzzi of prosperity and consciousness. And as you submerge into the warm, bubbling water, you're effortlessly relaxed, like just soaking in the love and prosperity in the air all around you. Take a deep breath in. We're so grateful to live where we live, to have all that we have, and to be able to work on ourselves in this nature, to be able to be working on ourselves to a point of self-realization. So few people get to really spend time doing that. So let's just go ahead and take a deep breath in. Galvanize all your attention at the point between your eyebrows. And we're going to talk about Think and Grow Rich tonight. Think and Grow Rich, it's just a fascinating story, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about how it happened. Andrew Carnegie was a steel magnate, right? He was a Scottish man who came over and during the Industrial Revolution, you know, made a fortune in steel. And Napoleon Hill, who was the author of this book, had a chance meeting with Andrew Carnegie to interview him for a paper of some sorts. And he was so impressed with the, you know, with the young Scot, or not the young Scot, with the young Napoleon Hill, that he commissioned Napoleon Hill to write a book on basically how men become successful. Because it was brought to his attention, Andrew Carnegie's attention, by people like Charles S. Schwab, so, you know, like Schwab Investments, that, you know, that convinced Carnegie that much of what is taught in schools is of no value whatsoever in the connection with business or earning a living for accumulating riches. And so just take a deep breath in. So this book was written, say, in between 1905 and 1925. You know, approximately, or 35, excuse me. So 1935, go back 20 years, and just say approximately written in between that time. And that was what the task was that was handed before Napoleon Hill, to spend 20 years or more preparing to take this to the world, to take this secret into the lives of many, if that they did not have these secrets, that they were sure to be failures in their life. So take a deep breath in. So there's a man named Bill Bartman. He's a billionaire, or at least was at some time. I think he was born into, you know, a family with 9 children, or something like that. You know, it might even have been Michigan. Bunch of kids, you know, welfare family, was poor. Like, I think when he was like 13 or 14, he left home with the circus. You know, trapped being a carny. And he broke his back really bad in the circus. And in the hospital, the only book they had was Think and Grow Rich. He read this book over and over and over again. This man became a billionaire. I'm not reading this from the book. When you listen to stories of how people became rich and successful, more than any other one thing, they'll quote Think and Grow Rich. So take a deep breath in. Let's just make sure we're galvanized with all our attention at the point between our eyebrows and had to bring up our hands, but just take a nice deep breath in, breathing love into your heart, filling it up. At the end of the day, we're still here for love, and that's what this is all about. And this is just a principle for how to live your life in at least one aspect of it, so you will have a prosperity of love and joy to be able to give to the world. It's really a formula to be able to give your gift to the world. And we know at some level you're here to bring love into the world, right? And so am I, and so are we all. And so when I was 22, I first read this book, I can remember sitting in the Parcells Middle School Library in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan, writing out my life plan, you know, because that was part of the thing that we're going to do in this book, is, you know, write out what I want. And at age 50, I wanted to have $50 million, and I wanted to start my body, mind, health, spirit gyms. Like free gyms that it didn't just encompass fitness, it encompassed, you know, physical fitness, you know, mind like this stuff, and spirit like meditation. Take a deep breath in. And just what's interesting about that is that I'm doing that. I'm even looking at a physical location where I could start my first body, mind, spirit center, you know, without the $50 million and 10 minutes early. But it's just the point that everything in this book that I read 20 years ago, it proves to be true. And it's not hard to read, and it's not hard to do these things. So I'm really looking forward to covering them with you. Let's just take a deep breath in. And let's sort of go over some of the principles within the book that need to be mastered for you to think and grow rich. So there's first is the desire. You know, you must have a desire for something, to get off the couch, to get out of bed in the morning. What, you know, what burns in your belly as a fire? You know, what is it? And whatever that is that you find that you can grab onto, feed that fire. I mean, that's the key. If the fire dies, it wasn't the thing. But if the fire's not dying, it keep feeding it, keep growing it. This is how auto-suggestion works, which we'll talk about it in the book, or programming your mind. Like the more you start programming your mind and start thinking about what it is that you want to think about, the more you're going to start thinking about what you want to think about, because it feels good and it gets exciting and the momentum builds. You know, I can't express to you guys the more money program that we did in group coaching maybe 2 months ago. I mean, I did those affirmations for 21 days that I asked everybody to do, and I reprogrammed my whole mind in those 21 days. I mean, I can't. So you got to have that desire. So where does that come from? Well, because more than ever, I have the desire to control my mind, to think about what I want to think about, because that's how I create. It's all with your thoughts, nothing else. Take a deep breath in. Most of the men in this book that used this book to create riches had little or no schooling. Faith. So the first is desire, and the third is faith. Faith in yourself, faith in what is, faith in God, but above all things, faith in your ability to accomplish your definite aim in life, your major purpose, and to develop and to work on the self-confidence, on developing the self-confidence that it takes, whatever it is you need to create this. So take a deep breath in. So this was the formula that I read and that I was going off of in the library. Fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. If it's not sufficient merely to say, I want plenty of money, be definite as to the amount. Determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. Establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money. Create your definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you're ready or not, to put that plan into action. Fifth, write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. Take a deep breath in. So I got that far 20 years ago. And now here's the sixth one. Read your written statement out loud twice daily, once just before retiring at night and once arising in the morning, as you read, see, and feel and believe yourself already in the possession of the money. Take a deep breath in. So faith. So we sort of alter this. I don't really strongly encourage you to put your attention just on money and write out the clear, concise statement of the money you want and what you intend, you know, your plan for carrying it out is how you may serve, and put that plan into action. I'll tell you, I did this 20 years ago. It's just all rushing back to me because I can't believe it's coming into fruition. But I read this in this book, and I went and I did all these things. And I wrote out what I intended to give in return. You know, that's your plan into action. And then it's just faith, and that's it. And so what I encourage you to do is to forget about money and have faith. I'm putting your attention on your third eye. Have faith in spirit and your meditation practice and that you're being guided. And if you just learn to control your mind, to think about what it is you're creating, to think about, to remind yourself that you're the spirit and not your mind, and just to have that faith. And whatever it's whatever you're creating or something even better. So the next principle, the third principle, is auto-suggestion. Take a deep breath in. And auto-suggestion is the programming of the mind. You know, that's what we talk about, reprogramming the mind, programming the mind. It's telling your mind what you want it to think and telling it over and over and over again. So take a deep breath in. Just galvanize all your attention at the point between your eyebrows. Take a breath and breathe love into your heart. So no thought, whether it be negative or positive, can enter the subconscious mind without the aid of the principle of auto-suggestion, with the exceptions of thoughts picked up from the ether. Stated differently, all sense impressions, which are perceived through the five senses, are stopped by the conscious thinking mind and may either be passed on to the subconscious mind or rejected at will. The conscious facility serves, therefore, as an outer guard to the approach of the subconscious. Okay, take a deep breath in because that was extremely important. So we talked about this in the 30-day journey, right, is that the subconscious mind is 90%, but the conscious mind is the guard dog. That's why it's so important to be conscious of your consciousness so you cannot allow thoughts into your mind, into your computer, into your program that you don't want and that don't serve you. Take a deep breath in. And you want to fill your subconscious mind with the thoughts that you most want to think about, with what it's creating. Nature has built in the man that he has absolute control over the material which reaches his subconscious mind. So that's the key. That's just another way of being conscious of your consciousness. Because when you go unconscious, you can allow things into your field that would hurt you. In fact, you can, you know, be in touch with somebody who plans to hurt you. And if you're not conscious enough, you won't know. But if you are connected and conscious, you'll always be warned in time to warn yourself of danger. That's where I read that in this book. And I cannot tell you how true that is. And what a sigh of relief that it gave me. Because I knew that if I just focused on things in this book, meditating being one of those things, that I would not have to worry about danger because I would be protected in time to prevent that. And I'll tell you, a few years after I read this book, I just moved to L.A. And It was, you know, less than 2 years after I read this book. I was walking home from the gym, and I got mugged. But a voice in my head, it was the first time. Well, it wasn't the first time, but it was clear and distinctive. This voice spoke to me, and I saw and felt the mugging about 10 to 15 seconds before it happened. I felt it. I knew something was coming, but I was talking on my darn cell phone, and I ignored it. And so I got mugged. Take a deep breath in. But I was warned. I could have prevented it. Take a deep breath in. So as we go over these chapters, I mean, you have the idea of auto-suggestion. So the next is specialized knowledge. So personal experiences or observations. So I'll just read this real quick. General knowledge, no matter how great in quantity or variety it may be, is of but little use in the accumulation of money. The facilities of great universities possess in aggregate particularly every form of general knowledge known to civilization. Most of the professors have but little or no money. Take a deep breath in. And, you know, there's that famous saying that knowledge is power. And this book corrects that and saying, no, knowledge is potential power. The knowledge must be backed by a plan and put into action. It says right here, knowledge will not attract money unless it is organized and intelligently directed through practical plans of action to a definite end. Take a deep breath in. So specialized knowledge would also be like, I'm a coach, and I'm kind of a general coach, but my specialty is meditation. And I don't just know how to meditate. I've been working on disseminating the information to other individuals and putting it in, getting better at putting it into an organized format for you guys to learn from. Donna is specialized knowledge in art, and now she's using that, you know. Thomas in trading. But it's taking this specialized knowledge, you know, becoming a master in it, and then transmuting it or using it to make an intelligent plan to accumulate money or whatever it is, the outcome that you want to achieve. Just take a deep breath in. It says like this. Before you can be sure of your ability to transmute desire into its monetary equivalent, you will require specialized knowledge of the service, merchandise, profession which you intend to offer in return for the fortune. So take a deep breath in. So 2011, I knew that I wanted to do what I'm doing right now. You know, some part of me knew this 10 years ago. I didn't necessarily know how to get there. And then in 2011, you know, I knew all this stuff that could help me get out of my financial hole and things like that. I knew how to do stuff, but I wasn't inspired. And the only thing that inspired me was meditating and just meditating. And occasionally something would try and get my attention, you know, and then I focused on massage school, but I would just bring it back and just focus on meditating, just develop myself, just work on myself, develop myself. Focus on myself, just get through, you know, just make it through these months and just keep developing yourself. You know, it took several years of coaching before I really put myself out there. So take a deep breath in, specialized knowledge. So the next principle, I believe, is the mastermind principle. Ooh, it's imagination. So excuse me, but take a deep breath in. Imagination is the most powerful force in the universe. I mean, this is the workshop of your mind. This is where you craft and create your vision and your dream. You know, it'll cover in the book two different types of imagination. They're sort of using the knowledge that you have and rearranging it in different ways to come to a desired outcome. But then there's the creative imagination. There's that part of your mind that's connected to infinite intelligence or the ether. They use ether in this word. So if you read information like, we just read something on Kundalini Yoga from Baba Muktananda, or it was one of the yogis. I apologize, I can't remember, but they used the word ether. It was Vatatri Maharishi in the book that we did, and he used ether in its turn with Akash. You know, the Akashic records, the Akash is where all information is stored. It's the same thing. I mean, that's why this book, when they reprinted it in the 70s, they took all that talk out about ether. You know, they say maybe because people didn't like it, but that's not why, because it's such a secret. I mean, it is hidden from you. Anyways, you are connected to the infinite mind of man, and you have access to that. And that's where, creative imagination, that's where real imagination takes place, where, things like Nikola Tesla, or where, the major advances of technology and science happen. Take a deep breath in. Man's only limitation within reason lies in his development and use of his imagination. And they tell the awesome story about the enchanted kettle in this chapter. And it's the story of how Coca-Cola started for $500, and how it started, the pharmacist who had the formula for Coca-Cola, that's all he had, was the formula. But the person who bought it, Asner Candler, I think was his name, he had a plan. He had an idea and he had a plan, to sell this beverage, as a Candler. Take a deep breath in. So he put in the secret formula, the secret ingredients, his imagination. The next is the organized planning, right? So we talked about having to have knowledge. Now you have to have organized planning. And this is a big chapter on it, like organized planning. Like, it doesn't sound like that exciting or that juicy, right? I'll just read you some things on this for this, because it's important. This is the mastermind principle, I think. Allow yourself with a group of as many people as you may need for the creation and carrying out of your plan or plans for the accumulation of money, making use of the mastermind principle described in a later chapter. Compliance with this instruction is absolutely essential. Do not neglect it. So remember that, the mastermind principle. Before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. So this is a mastermind group. We're all coming together for the purpose of our own enlightenment and all to share. But no riches and fortunes are made by individuals. They're all made with groups of people. Everybody needs help. Every successful person has a mastermind group. To some degree, it can be your future self, right? We talk about that, seeing the version of your future self. That can be your mastermind. Napoleon Hill talks about his mastermind group as a bunch of dead people that he sees in his head every night before he goes to bed. And it got so real that he stopped it. And I'll talk about it during the course. Take a deep breath in. So you want to arrange to meet with your members of your mastermind group at least twice a week and more often if possible until you have jointly perfected the necessary plans or plans for accumulation of money. In this case, spirit, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. We're coming together every week. And together, the classes are kind of becoming better and more pointed and giving you more of what you need, I hope. Maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. This is essential. Essential. If you fail to carry out the instructions to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure, the mastermind principle. If you cannot create perfect harmony. Take a deep breath in. So this almighty principle of the mastermind principle is the most important principle. I mean, there's not one, but they're all important, but if there was one, this might be it. And so, you know, who are your associates? Who are you masterminding with? You'll be as the closest five people you hang around with. You know, my life changed the most dramatically when I started hanging around with new people that I was paying for their time, to be honest with you. But that was how I hung out with a different level of people at first. Take a deep breath in. Oh, we have so much fun stuff in this book. I'm really excited to go over it with you. Just regalvanize all your attention at the point between your eyebrows. And just imagine you're taking a deep breath and filling your heart with love and light. Exhale and exude it out from every cell in your being. Check in how you feel. Notice what's going on in your body. Just sort of clumsily reading through and taking you on the beginning journey of thinking grow rich. But that shouldn't matter. It's not really about the words or what I'm saying. It's about breathing in and connecting with that which is causing your heart to beat. Just being in the energy, knowing that we're coming together and the group, that just adds spiritual energy and consciousness to the group. The consciousness that we're coming together to do that increases the consciousness more. And that we're coming together to learn, grow, and evolve and to spread love across this planet so we can all live together in more happiness and peace. Take a deep breath in. That was a real big planning, the organized planning chapter. So the next chapter is chapter 8, decision. Accurate analysis of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision was near the head of the list of the 30 major causes of failure. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically every man must conquer. Take a deep breath in. So the art of making the decision, the second personal development talk, the second public speaking talk I ever gave was on the art of making decision. The only decision most people make is not to make any decision at all. Then you have to end up with what life gives you. Make a decision right now today, to be extraordinary, to achieve something extraordinary in this life, if that's what desires you. Having a child is an extraordinary feat in itself. But, what are you creating? Are you going to enlighten? Where have you not made a decision in your life? So analysis of several hundred people who had accumulated fortunes well beyond $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and of changing these decisions slowly if and when they were changed. People who fail to accumulate money, without exception, have the habit of reaching decision, if at all, very slowly, and changing these decisions quickly and often. And we can just know that to be truth in our own life, probably by self-observation. A deep breath in. Decision is key. If you are influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. The majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are generally easily influenced by the opinions of others. Opinions are the cheapest commodity on earth. Deep breath in. So those are just things to watch for. It's like if you're influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. Is to, develop that within you, if that's something you need to do. Take a deep breath in, breathe love into your heart, see it filling and expanding as it fills with love and light. Exhale and exude it out from every cell in your being. Chapter 9 is persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Faith. Persistence is the essential factor in the procedure of transmuting desire into its monetary equivalent. The basis of persistence is the power of will. Take a deep breath in. Willpower and desire, when promptly combined, make an irresistible pair. Persistent in your daily practice of meditation. Persistent in taking conscious control of your mind and learning to think about what it is you most want to think about. You know, this is all about self-mastery. That's what this book is. Like, people who get really rich that don't, you know, they, like the Bill Bartman guy, who's a billionaire, right? I mean, I don't know him personally. I'm just going to tell you, you know. That being said, he's a great guy. He's a good family man. He helps people, right? His business might do bad things. I don't know. But he's a relatively conscious person. He understood that that there is a thinking substance, that this ether, this is the God substance itself, that you can essentially bend to your will to some degree with persistence. The use of willpower, staying dedicated to your meditation practice and journaling no matter what, because it takes time sometimes. Take a deep breath in. Poverty is attracted to those whose mind is favorable to it, as money is attracted to him whose mind has been deliberately prepared to attract it. And through these same laws, poverty consciousness will voluntarily seize the mind which is not occupied with the money consciousness. So if you don't actively work to develop a money consciousness, your mind will be voluntarily seized with poverty consciousness. So, you know, what did it say we learned in the Book of Thomas? You know, don't do what you hate. And if you don't come to know yourselves, you will dwell in poverty. And it is you who are that poverty. You know, money consciousness is God consciousness. You don't want to put money and God together. But that's essentially what this is saying. It's not really about money. If you don't know yourself, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You dwell in poverty. We can see that in rich people on the media. Take a deep breath in. Without persistence, you'll be defeated before you even start. With persistence, you will win. Be persistent no matter how slowly you may at first have to move. With persistence will come success. I can just sit here and repeat that over and over again to you and how important it is. You can never fail if you never give up. A deep breath in. So the power of the mastermind is chapter 10. We kind of already talked about it, but organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort or two or more people who work toward a definite end in the spirit of harmony. So remember, we were talking about specialized knowledge. So I can't have all the specialized knowledge. You can't have all the specialized knowledge. So we have to rely on each other for each having different special types of knowledge. And then we have to, through the power of the mastermind, by sort of joining forces and joining our mind, we have to work together to use our individual knowledges and to organize that into a plan to work towards our goal, the accumulation of money or whatever it is. So power is required for the accumulation of money. Power is necessary for the retention of money after it has been accumulated. Here's some things. A, infinite intelligence. This source of knowledge may be contacted through the procedure described in another chapter with the aid of creative imagination. So that's what we were talking about, right? The infinite intelligence, the ether, accumulated experience. The accumulated experience of man, or the portion of it which has been organized and recorded, may be found in any well-equipped public library. An important part of this accumulated experience is taught in public schools and colleges, where it has been classified and organized. Experiment and research. So this is how we get that information and imagination, and I don't need to continue going on with that. But take a deep breath in. The human mind is a form of energy, a part of it being spiritual in nature. When the minds of two people are coordinated in the spirit of harmony, the spiritual units of energy of each mind form an affinity which constitutes the psychic base of a mastermind. Take a deep breath in. So, you know, I'm just reading what I have underlined or what I'm being called to read, but just think about that for a moment. You know, about what we're learning in meditation and yoga. And, you know, the human mind is a form of energy. Everything is energy. A part of it being spiritual in nature. So what happens when we connect is that our spirits connect. You know, there's no separation between time and space. Spirit doesn't know that. So we come together to connect on the phone as a mastermind with the purpose of becoming more conscious. And how our spirit meeting through time and space enhances the feeling of spirit for both of us, right? It constitutes the psychic phase of the mastermind, the affinity of the group. Take a deep breath in. But it's how we grow more spiritually, by masterminding, coming together, working with each other, talking with each other, talking about spiritual things, holding each other accountable. If you analyze the record of any man who's accumulated a great fortune and many of those who have accumulated modest fortunes, you will find that they have either consciously or unconsciously employed the mastermind principle. Great power can be accumulated through no other principle. A deep breath in. Breath of love into your heart. See your physical heart expanding as it fills with love and light. The next is the subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches the objective mind through any of the five senses, is classified and recorded and form which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters by taking from a filing cabinet. So it's explaining your brain, right? All this stuff happens throughout your life, and it all gets recorded and filed away into your brain. And you may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire to translate into physical or monetary equivalent. And your subconscious mind will make it for you. It will act first on the dominating desires which have been mixed with the emotion of feeling and faith. So, you know, what it is you're creating. Isn't it funny? It's always what I ask people, what are you creating? And nobody knows. But it's like when you know what you're creating and you're constantly, then you know what you want to think about because you're always feeding that to your subconscious mind and it starts to grow and the fire burns inside of you. And you have to keep feeding it. I mean, that you have to keep working till you find something that you're willing to keep feeding until it grows. The subconscious mind, it works day and night, and it doesn't know if you're lying to it. And we're going to talk a lot about that, the subconscious mind. The next is the brain. 12th step towards Richards. It's the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. More than 20 years ago, so the turn of the century, the author, working in conjunction with the late Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, observed that every human brain is both a broadcasting and receiving station for the vibration of thought. Through the medium of the ether, in a fashion similar to that employed by radio broadcasting principle. Every human brain is capable of picking up vibrations of thought which are being released by other brains. In connection with the statement in the preceding paragraph, compare and consider the description of creative imagination as outlined in the chapter on imagination. The creative imagination is the receiving set of the brain, which receives thoughts released by the brains of others. Take a deep breath up. We are all part of the collective consciousness. When other people have genius ideas, other people have genius ideas. The genius is often the one who acts. So when stimulated or stepped up to a high rate of vibration, the mind becomes more receptive to the vibration of thought which reaches it through the ether from outside sources. The stepping up process takes place through positive emotions. Through the emotions, the vibrations of thought may be increased. So it's like, what are we always talking about when you're making a goal? It's what are the feelings? How does it feel? You know, my feelings are always typically based around humility, gratitude, and compassion, because all saints serve selflessly. Those are the three contributing attributes that all saints, avatars, and gurus have. So vibrations of an exceedingly high rate are the only vibrations picked up and carried by the ether from one brain to another. Think Shakti Pod. Thought is energy traveling in an exceedingly high rate of vibration. Thought which has been modified or stepped up by any of the four major emotions vibrates at a much higher rate than ordinary thought. And this is the type of thought which passes from one brain to another through the broadcasting machinery of the human brain. So take a deep breath in. We're going to talk about this more. But this is really important stuff. This brain, you know, it's not even about picking it up. It's so much about transferring the enthusiasm. If your brain is constantly being fed with these positive emotions and you're feeding the fire of what it is you're creating, it's also going to be transferred to other brains, and people are going to want it. They're going to want what you have. If you're broadcasting love, generosity, humility, you know, prosperity. Take a deep breath in. The greatest forces are intangible. It just goes, it's worth remembering that. So the 13th step is the sixth sense. So the 13th principle, known as the sixth sense, through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort, form, or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles. The sixth sense is the portion of the subconscious mind which has been referred to as the creative imagination. It's also been referred to as the receiving set. Understanding of the sixth sense comes by meditation through mind development from within. It is believed to be the point at which the mind of man contacts the universal mind. So holy crap, we're talking about meditation. We're talking about developing our sixth sense. You know, what do we do when we put our attention at the point between our eyebrows? We're developing the sense of ourself that is least developed. We're developing this inner guidance system that can lead us and guide us to all the right people, places, easy and effortless. Because when we're conscious of our consciousness, we don't make mistakes. Life flows. We are happy. Everything works. It's only when we go unconscious that we make mistakes, that we do things we regret. So the sixth sense is talking about literally what we're developing, like what we're doing. And the reality is if you develop this, you don't need the other 12 principles. But I'm not going to disagree with Napoleon Hill. I've been developing them all, and we all should. But how we enlighten, like let's say we want to just transfer this instead of money, and we just transfer this into enlightenment. We take this exact same formula. Or let's say you want to travel the world, or I don't know what it is. It has to be, in my experience, in service of others, not get a yacht. Take a deep breath in. Let's just hold up. Let's bring up both of our hands for a moment. And let's just take a moment to share love. So just bring up our hands. These are our satellite dishes of love. Putting our attention in the tips of our fingers, palms of our hands. I'm just going to send love to you right now, right? Through the ether. We're coming together through the ether. My spirit is connecting with your spirit through time and space, and it's going to enhance your connection to spirit. So imagine balls of love and light forming in your hands now, and just take a deep breath in. Draw that love and light down your arms, expanding your physical heart. Exhale and exude it out from every cell in your being. And again, we'll breathe in again, drawing in more love, more light, expanding your heart, filling it with love and light. Exhale and exude it out beyond your physical body. Feel the energy grow now. The more open you are to receive, the more you'll receive. Take a deep breath in, expanding your heart 4, 5, 6 inches, filling it with love and light. Exhale and exude it out so you're enshrouded in a cocoon of golden white light. Go ahead and bring your hands down on your lap, palms open to receive. Just re-galvanize all your attention at the point between your eyebrows. And be excited. Like, what is something you're going to feed your subconscious mind now? In the next week, we have you have an opportunity to drastically shift your life. Start thinking about what it is you want to create. What do you want to create over these next 12 weeks? You're going to be having positive information pumped into your brain. And positive input equals positive output. You're going to have an absolute chance to reprogram your mind. So think about it. Write something down. What do you want to create? You know, what do you want your legacy to be? Dream big. You know, you can think 12 weeks, or you can just go 30 years like I did the first time it told me to do it. You know, write the story of your life. How do you want it to go? Write it out chapter by chapter, decade by decade, year by year. Take a deep breath in. Let's just bring up our right hand for a moment, our catcher's mitt of love, just our right hand. And we'll let that energy build at the tip of your middle finger. I'm just going to send love, and you're open to receive. So just let the energy build at the tip of the middle finger, maybe some light or some heat or some throbbing you'll begin to feel. The atmosphere around you is purified and blessed by the divine. May the divine energy descend upon you. You are purified and blessed. You are protected and guided by the divine in all your activities, day and night, and all places. Let's just go ahead and give your third eye a little touch with your middle finger. Let the energy build there. Just merge into the feeling. Just bring your hands down on your lap when you're ready. Galvanizing all your attention at the point between your eyebrows, like it's the most important thing you're going to do for the next 2 minutes as we sit in silence. Deep breath in. Just Take a moment to visualize what you're creating, to get into the feeling of what you're creating. You know, is it your enlightened self? Is it peace on earth? Is it your business? Is it a relationship? What are you creating? You know, see your enlightened self. See yourself thinking and growing rich. Just take a moment to picture the whole world living in happiness and peace. May the whole world live in peace. May you enjoy long life, good health, prosperity, happiness, and peace. Oh. Rub our hands together vigorously, creating heat and friction in your palms, and go ahead and palm your eyes with your hands. Feels good. Slowly breathe your eyes open, noticing how conscious you are of your consciousness, noticing how you feel. A few questions now.